So Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, familiar words. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We looked at the Holy Spirit a couple of weeks ago and then carried on looking at who he is, what his function is, and then some of the symbols of the Holy Spirit that we've nothing to be afraid of when it's concerning the Holy Spirit. He's not a force, he's a person. And we can know him just as much as we know Jesus, just as much as we know one another. And we need to be as comfortable with that as we are with each other, because he's a person, the third person of the Trinity, amen? And today I just wanted to talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit. So Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, are visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them, saying that, they've just had too much wine to drink. And then Peter stood up and begins to give the first sermon, empowered by the Holy Spirit. They've been instructed to wait, and at the beginning of Acts, that's what Jesus' instructions were. Jesus had gone, their mentor, their hero, the one who had done incredible things while he lived amongst them. Then he goes back, and it's as if the head's been cut off. They're a bit bewildered, not knowing now what to do. Is it all over? The last 3 years, is it all done? Is it all finished? Where do we go from here? And his promise was, "I will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit." And then, this is what happens on this particular day. On the day of Pentecost, as they were in prayer, just waiting, bang, Holy Spirit comes. They are empowered, energized in such a way that it actually caused them to be people who were beyond themselves. All their inhibitions, all their shyness, all their bewilderment just disappeared, and their goal became different. Their goal was, let's get out there and let's tell the people. And so they poured out and they were speaking in a heavenly language. The Bible calls it tongues. And a miracle happens here. The miracle was either that as they spoke with this tongue, it was just one tongue, but everybody understood it, or it might have been that between them all, they were speaking in tongues and different people from different areas understood it. Whichever way, it's a miracle, because the people are hearing and they're bewildered. Hang on, these are Galileans, and yet they're speaking in a tongue that I understand. They're speaking in my tongue. I can understand it. I remember, praise God, it has happened on the odd occasion. I know in Bridge Street, in our home church, someone stood up and began to just speak in the congregation. Just stood up, even as one or two prayed, that person stood up and just began to speak in a tongue. And when that happens, we wait for interpretation. because it's pointless someone speaking in a tongue that you don't understand if it's not interpreted. So we were waiting for the interpretation, and there was a person in there who just stood up and said, who was just blown over and just broke down, started to cry, and because the person who spoke this tongue spoke in their language and spoke directly to them and met their need. It broke them. That can happen. Amen? Divine appointments. How? The work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit. And so, when we come to this passage, this miracle happens. We go further on, and we go to chapter 8. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. So they're in Samaria now, the disciples. And he boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the Great Power." And they followed him because he was because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip, who was a Christian, and who during the persecution had ended up going out and sharing the news, and he ends up in Samaria. When they heard Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom and of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he had saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Because remember, there's that antagonism between Israel and Samaria. Samaria, mixed population, not pure Jews. Because of various takeovers by different armies who then populate an area and it becomes a mixed center, all with different beliefs and stuff. And so the Jews held back from Samaria. There was antagonism between the two areas. But it's there in Samaria. When they heard that God had burst out, they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they'd made a decision. They believed in this Jesus that was being shared, but they had never been empowered by the Holy Spirit. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. A two-part thing had happened there. They got saved, which is a work of the Holy Spirit. We cannot get saved without a work of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who regenerates us and gives us a new birth, that we can connect with God, that we can understand the word when we've been hit. Suddenly spiritual things come to life. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. And yet, it says they had not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, which means it's something slightly different, slightly additional. An empowering happened. Then it says that when Simon saw this, that the Spirit was given at the laying on of hands, he offered them money. "Give me this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." So although he'd made a decision, his background still needed sorting out. And that quite often happens. Amen? Some of us, when we say yes to Jesus, we've got a whole heap of baggage and a whole heap of way of thinking that is still the thinking of the world. And that's what happened to Simon. We thought, wow, these guys just lay hands on people and then poof, they're speaking in tongues. This is power. I played at it with magic, did my tricks, but this is genuine life-changing power. I want it. You turn to chapter 19. chapter 19, Paul in Ephesus. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked them, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they said. Paul said to them, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. You know, aware of your sin and repenting before God. He told the people to believe in the one after him, that is in Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." So they believed upon Jesus as the Messiah, and they received him as Lord, and they were baptized, demonstrating it to those gathered. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And there were about 12 men in all. So again, we see a two-part experience. One of having heard about Jesus and having received Jesus, become saved. And then there is the laying on of hands, and they receive the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And the outward sign was that something happened. They spoke with tongues. They prophesied. There was an outward response that was very clear to those who were gathered that something incredible happened. That's the commonality between all those three issues, those three examples, that there was an outward experience. It wasn't just a nice, let's pray, Holy Spirit, amen, and off we go home. No, when they were impacted by the Holy Spirit, something happened, and it was visible. Matthew 6:33 says this: "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You know that was the verse that brought me to Jesus. If I put God first, he's going to sort out the issues that I then had in my life. That's how I read that verse. Don't try and sort out the issues in your life first, thinking then you'll be worthy enough to be a Christian. No. Come just as you are. Put him first, and then with his help, you'll conquer. You'll conquer the stuff in your life. And that word seek, let me just mention something about seeking, because this is important. We define that word in Greek as zeteo, meaning desire, or encompasses a desire to, an endeavor, an earnest, prolonged, and industrious effort, an attempt to achieve a goal. Seeking, to inquire. It includes to worship. And all that comes into the word seek. It really means that you're serious. That whatever God wants for me, I want it. I want it. If you don't want it, then you won't get it. Amen? But if you're earnestly seeking, you will receive. So I say for myself, I became a Christian as a result of that verse, because I knew God was real. I knew Jesus was real. But I was afraid of what I would have to give up as a teenager. But I wanted him. And it came to that point where I wanted him more than the stuff that I had in my life at that time. Nicodemus, John 3:1. He was in the ruling council, a Pharisee. And he came to Jesus in secret because there was antagonism between the establishment, the religious establishment, and this Jesus who had suddenly appeared on the scene, and crowds were following him, and he wasn't preaching a gospel that they understood. They wanted the Old Testament. They wanted their scriptures. Things done in the way it was done in the past by Moses and stuff. So when Jesus comes along and he speaks with his own authority, they just couldn't handle him. But Nicodemus, there was things that Jesus said that he wanted to know more. And so he came in secret, away from his comrades, on night, to speak to Jesus. And that's where Jesus says to him, "Hey Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again if you're going to see anything from the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus got saved. Amen? But it's because he came seeking. Something happened inside where he said, I just need to know more. I need this. The centurion, Matthew 8:5, a seeker, because he came to Jesus on behalf of his servant who was ill. And he came to Jesus and said, I've got to see this guy because this guy's got authority. I understand authority because I'm a soldier. I tell this man, go, and he goes. My superior tells me, do this, and I do this. This man has that kind of authority where he says things to spirits, and they're gone. He says things to sickness, and it's gone. I've got to get to him for my servant. And he comes and seeks him out, and his servant is made whole. Amen? Seeking. The woman in the crowd who was suffering from constant bleeding, hemorrhaging, massive crowd, all these hundreds of people around Jesus jostling him, his disciples trying to keep them all apart. And then Jesus says, hang on, someone touch me. I said, what do you mean someone touched you? There's a whole crowd around here. There's all this jostling. No, someone touched me and power went out. And then she just said, it was me. And she was healed. Seeking. She reached out, touched him. Because she was seeking for something. And she saw the answer in Jesus. But if she hadn't have sought him, she'd still be with the bleeding. Seeking. The Magi. Christmas. It's not just a fairy story. It's real. And they came and they sought Jesus. They traveled because of this conviction that a Messiah had been born. The one that they've been hearing about, long about for years in their tradition. And they traveled and they sought. In other words, they were industrious. They made the effort in order to seek. Traveling all that distance wasn't just a fly-by-night thing. And as a result, they saw the Messiah. Jacob, Mike was on about it last week, wrestled with God all night because he desired. He was seeking for the blessing that he knew that God had for him. If he hadn't have wrestled, he would not have got the blessing. But he wrestled all night and got the blessing, and his name was changed to Israel. Caleb, just to show that there's hope for us who are getting older. Joshua 14, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me, and I'm as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Remember, it was Caleb and Joshua when they arrived at the promised land as a nation and refused to go in because everybody else of the 12 spies said, no, the people in that land are too big, too strong for us. We've been misled. And they said, no, 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 we've been in there. It is flowing with milk and honey. We see all the blessing that God has said is there and is going to give to us. But they were all the other 10 were too scared and they misled the people. As a result, they wandered in the desert for another 40 years until they came back to the very same point. Friends, don't wander around for 40 years. Ending back at a position that you could have had 40 years ago because of unbelief. That's what happened there. But Caleb and Joshua, they were the only two. And 40 years later, this new generation of people, a Joshua generation, who said, no, we can do it. God has said it, so let's do it. They went in and took the land, and Caleb comes up and he says to Joshua, Joshua, 40 years ago, God promised me Hebron. Everywhere I stood, I walked on my feet around there, said, and I'm still want that. because God has said. 40 years later, 85 years of age, seeker after what God has for him. And he got the land. Amen? And then we come to Matthew 7:12. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? How much more, if you ask God for the Holy Spirit, will he not give you the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We make things so complicated, don't we? And it's not complicated. So simply this morning, are you still a seeker? You might have been a Christian for a long time, but are you still a seeker? Someone who inquires of God, someone who is earnest about getting what God has for them, for you? Or do you just drift through your Christian life? Or have you stopped seeking? Today is the day to turn that around. Amen? To turn that around in the name of Jesus. Are you willing to do that? Repent, Peter said on that first sermon. Be baptized, every one of you, Acts 2:38, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I suppose the issue is, well, people say, well, that was for then. But no, it's for now as well. The promise, it goes on, is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. He's calling this morning. Firstly, repent, be baptized, every one of you. And so I say it again, if you don't know Jesus, repentance basically is very simple. It literally means to turn. So if you're walking away from God, you turn and you walk back towards God. If in your head you're thinking, I don't believe, I have doubts, and you're walking away, the end result is that in your mind you're walking away. Suddenly there's a change in your thinking. No, do you know what? I do believe. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to me as well. The other stuff will make sense. The other stuff will be dealt with. There's a change in your thinking, and you walk back towards God who made you. Repent and then be baptized. Baptism is a declaration to all those who are gathered. It doesn't make you a Christian. It signifies that you have already become a Christian and you're declaring it before all the people who are present at your baptism. You're pinning your colors to the mast. Amen. You're not ashamed of Jesus and you're declaring it. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, whose role is between now and until Jesus comes, to help us grow in our knowledge of the Lord, to be empowered to carry out and do the things that Jesus did, to guide us, to lead us, to build us. If we think that we can live the Christian life without him, we're foolish. We need the Holy Spirit in all of his fullness, including the power. Power that we might be changed from the inside out, and power that we may touch others for Jesus. So, three things. Let's pray. Firstly, if you don't know Jesus, and you say, Glenn, I want Jesus, or it might be that you made a decision years ago, but you know you're not where you should be. Some would say backslidden. Some would say maybe that term. Or all this is new to you, but you want Jesus. There's a burning in your spirit. If that's you, just give me a wave before I say my first prayer. Just give me a wave if that's you saying, Glenn, I want Jesus. I want to know him. Because this is where it begins. Repent. Change your thinking. Trust him. If that's you, let me see. Okay, then let me assume that we're all here, know Jesus and love him. The second part of that prayer is about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, are you willing to say this morning, I am a seeker and I desire everything that you, Holy Spirit, have for me? If that's you, hallelujah. If that's you this morning, I just want you to stand. In fact, I want us all to stand. You can't do this sat down, really. Let's all stand, because we all need him. And I'd just like you to place your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. That's all, just lightly on the shoulder. Don't know where that music suddenly come from. Hallelujah. Well, it must be of the Lord. Hallelujah. Begin to pray. Pray for the person next to you. This is just to show you that it's not down to the man at the front. This is between you and the Lord now. And pray, Lord, I pray for my brother next to me, my sister. If you know the name, you can say the name. That you would anoint them and fill them, baptize them with your Holy Spirit. I want each of us in our own hearts to say, Lord, this morning I'm a seeker. I want everything that you have for me in the name of Jesus. Because I need it. I need it. You pray that for yourself, but for your brothers and sisters around you, pray God's best for them now. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would release your Holy Spirit and that you would baptize your people. In the name of Jesus, we call upon you, Lord God. Hear this prayer. Receive the anointing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, afresh and anew. And Lord God, I pray that you would demonstrate it in their lives. There's never spoken with tongues, that you'll give that gift, Lord God. A new language, that they can talk with you. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would give them gifts of prophesying, as your word declares, that they may speak the truth with power in the name of Jesus, that they may be a witness, someone who shares what they know with others. And what we know is Jesus. I pray for such an anointing that, Lord God, they will be able to overcome any fears, any timidity, any lack of confidence that hinders being able to share good news that can change someone's life. Lord, grant that kind of anointing upon us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Receive your anointing. Receive your anointing. Believe God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I pray that this process of seeking will never stop. May we not be just an average, mundane Christian, Lord, who expects nothing, who sees nothing. But Lord, I pray for divine appointments, even this week, where those opportunities will be grasped by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Heavenly Father, we will hear of more stories, more, Lord God, so that the books would not be big enough to contain them. Father, we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.